remember exchanging emails with me a couple of years ago when I was in Iraq?
I do. I've actually got that, a copy of that email in my hand.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Good. Because I saw your name, and I said, well, I actually know her electronically.
Yeah, Tim Summers speaks real highly of you, and he hasn't ever stopped.
Yeah, well, Tim's a good old friend of mine.
Good.
I was going to say, you know how this came about, I guess.
Tim Williams.
That's right. I bumped into Tim Williams in one of the command posts here, and he saw my name, and he asked me if I was related to his boss back in Bentonville, Arkansas, just by chance. And I said, who do you work for? And he said, Walmart. And I said, well, you must work for my cousin, Wes. And he said he did. And so I said, well, it is an incredibly small world. So, you know, we decided to take a picture and fill out the hometown news release forms, and that's what led to this.
Okay. Well, good. It certainly comes out to be a small world sometimes, doesn't it?
It does.
Good. Let's talk. We talked Iraq last time. We talked a little bit about Bentonville and your growing up here as well.
Yes.
One thing I need to update, you were married to Donna. Is that still true?
Still, thankfully, yes.
28 years now?
Let's see. It will be 28 years in July, yes.
Okay. And Jerry is now 24?
He's now, well, he'll turn 24. I listed him as 24 because he turns 24 in about a week. So.
Okay. Yeah, this is going to come out Memorial Day weekend, I think I'm just going to try to put together a package with you and Williams to where we can get it all together. Okay.
Okay.
Michael, is he 21?
He's 21, that's right.
Catherine, 17?
No, she's 18. She's 18 now.
Good. So how's Afghanistan going for you? What are you doing in Afghanistan?
Well, I'm here this time working with what's called a combined joint interagency task force called Shafafiat, which is a Dari word, which means transparency. And it's the task force which has been put in place to help the International Security Assistance Force, which is the NATO force that's over here, combat the elements of corruption that we encounter as part of the overall comprehensive approach.
Okay. Now, can you spell the word that this task force is called?
Well, I can. It's Shafafiat.
Okay. Yeah, I've never gotten anywhere close to that.
That's okay. It actually, once you spell it, it's pronounced pretty much the way it looks, Shafafiat. So,
okay.
You know, and again, the word comes from one of the local languages here, Dari, which is the diplomatic and political language of the country, and it means transparency.
Yeah, my brother-in-law is actually in Afghanistan right now.
Really? Where's he at, Tabitha?
They just moved him again. His name is Gary Hunter, and he is my husband came out as a sergeant, so he is a specialist.
Okay.
So, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, they probably move him. Yeah, they probably move him frequently.
And Samuel, he was in Iraq in 05, so I am familiar with his lifestyle.
Yeah. So was your husband in Iraq with the Arkansas Brigade in 2005?
He was with the Mississippi Brigade in 2005. He was, because we moved up here in 2008. So he was with OIF-3.
Yeah.
So tell me about Afghanistan. You know, that's a whole other world from here. Nobody ever sees it or really hears about it. We all hear about Iraq, but nobody ever hears anything about Afghanistan in particularly.
Well, just in general, Tabitha, Afghanistan, to give you a comparison, since everybody thinks of Iraq, Afghanistan has roughly 10% more people than Iraq had, so it's got about 30 million to Iraq's 27 million.
Mm-hmm.
Afghanistan's actually in a geographical area about 50% larger than Iraq.
Okay.
To give you an idea. The operations are pretty much the same. It's counterinsurgency. One of the other differences is Iraq had a fairly urbanized population with quite a few big cities, that what we would consider big from Arkansas scale.
Mm-hmm.
Baghdad was about the same size as the capital city here, Kabul, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
But Iraq, much of the insurgency in Iraq had, in comparison, comparatively, an urban basis, whereas here it's much more rural based.
Okay.
Much more of the population, I think, in Afghanistan lives in small villages and farms. So you get terrain and geographical and human differences between the two countries, but the battle is roughly the same. It's a counterinsurgency.
Can you take me through a standard day of what you do generally?
Yeah, well, what I do is, I'm now a brigadier general, so what I do is quite a bit different, I think, than the average soldier gets to do. But we get up in the morning, and most people will go to the gym and get a or do some sort of physical training, if you will,
mm-hmm.
In the headquarters environment here. Then, at least the senior officers, we go to a staff meeting. Led by the commanding general, General Petraeus.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes, it's an update that takes a good hour and a half every morning, kind of gets you aware of what's happened in the last 24 hours, what's going to happen in the next several hours, or the next several days, pardon me. And then you go off and you do your own work after that. In our case, again, it's in a task force that's devoted to fighting corruption, which, is one of those things attendant to wars anywhere at any time. And, a series of meetings that we have internal on that and quite a few meetings externally with the Afghan government.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes you through most of the day. Go to bed at night, although, we do have internet here. So
yeah.
I don't know when your husband was with the Mississippi Brigade, whether you were able to Skype or not, but that's
no,
a
we did
favorite
not
activity
Skype.
At night.
We sent a lot of emails.
Yeah, well, depends on, where you're at and what kind of bandwidth you get. But one of the major changes, I think, in history is that even in the midst of the battlefield now, most people have bandwidth.
Mm-hmm. So how often do you talk with your family?
Well, I actually haven't talked with them since I've been here, but I've only been here, a short while on this particular trip.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mostly email. My family's in Brazil, Tabitha.
Yeah, that's
an added complication of time zones and phone systems.
Okay. All right, so you speak with them mostly through email.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you got back to Bentonville? Whenever I asked you this last time, it was for your class reunion, your 30th year class reunion.
That's right. Well, believe it or not, I got to Bentonville, when the big ice and snowstorm hit you guys, I left the day of. So I was back there for just about 3 days. I actually came back at Tim Summers' request to meet him down in the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I met him and John Edwards, Colonel John Edwards, who's also a state representative with Tim, and he's a colonel in the Arkansas Brigade. And I left literally the day that came in. So
oh, wow.
I come into
there.
Bentonville. Yeah, no kidding. I was real happy to get out because you guys got hammered pretty hard.
Okay. So
but I was only there for a couple of days.
Yeah. And that would have been earlier this year?
Oh, yes, yes. I'm trying to think. It would have probably been right at the end of January, beginning of February.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of them this year.
Yeah.
Now, your major job right now is to fight corruption within the internal security forces of Afghanistan to make sure that the country can stand on its own.
Well, yeah, it's not... It's Yeah, Tabitha, it's just it's fighting corruption as we find it. It's not associated with the internal security forces. It's in general. And we primarily, I mean, on one side of it are the anti-corruption measures that we take, just as you would back in the United States in government contracting to avoid corruption occurring, as well as to reduce the space for corruption to occur. And I'll give you an example. You think about every time you go through an airport, all the security measures that we all like to criticize in the United States, those things actually have an added advantage of not only safety, but if you think about it, those are mechanistic anti-corruption mechanisms when you apply it to people inbound into the country or people leaving the country, not just internal movement. Okay, so those are examples that you try and institute or help other countries institute. But we have those mechanistic actions that we seek through our application of our own U.S. federal contracting regulations to make sure that those are applied correctly. And then we help the Afghan government in their anti-corruption measures, as well as counter-corruption measures. Counter-corruption is the actions you take after the fact when you discover something that's gone wrong. And so as we help, one of the major parts of the mission here is help build the Afghan government. One of the things we're helping them with, and it's not just the military, there's a huge civilian effort that is associated with this as well, to help them with the counter-corruption side of it. So there's two sides, preventive measures and reactive measures, if you will.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you've been at this for years and years and years. This is not your first trip to Afghanistan. It's not likely going to be your last. How have you watched this change since 2003 when we decided, hey, we're going into Iraq and we're going into Afghanistan?
Well, you know, some of the amazing things for me, Tabitha, I guess, is that, and of course this is for Memorial Day, is the willingness of American citizens to continue to serve over the long term. These types of conflicts are always long term. They're never short term. And, you know, it's one of those things that you see lots of veterans. In other words, I've served with 18-year-olds all the way up to, believe it or not, the oldest soldier I've served with was 75.
Oh, my goodness.
He was a doctor, and he'd come out of retirement and suited back up. He'd retired like 20 years before from the military. And
he was 75.
Volunteered. Yeah, volunteered and was deployed. He was a brain trauma specialist, so was deployed because of that specialty. And what you, I think, marvel at is the resilience of our citizens and their willingness to re-enlist multiple times. I mean, there are people that have been here, you know, 4 or 5 years in the last 10 years. And, you, of course, you run into a lot of wonderful young people that are 18 or 19 years old who know what's going to they know they're going to be deployed, and they still enlist. And I think that's very encouraging. I think the other thing that I would point out, Tabitha, is that at least here in Afghanistan, we've got 48 allies, okay? So there are 49 countries here. In Iraq, we had 40 countries total. Here it's 49. And I think the encouraging thing about that, if you will, that there I looked this up before I talked to you. There are one of the world almanacs lists 193 countries now in the world. And so you've got 49 of them here. When you add Afghanistan, it makes 50. So you've got about 26% of the countries in the world actively engaged here with troops on the ground at risk. Now, here's the other, I think, startling fact, that all of those 50 countries, including Afghanistan, have a representative democratic system. When I graduated from West Point in 1982, there were not 50 democracies in the world. Today, according to the World Almanac that I looked at, there are 116. So slightly less than half of those democracies are here right now, if you will, on the jagged edge of freedom and civilization. So very encouraging. Again, saw a similar alliance in Iraq. Many of the same countries had troops both in Iraq and Afghanistan at the same time with us.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I think this is something that frequently escapes the average American citizen because it's not one of those things we necessarily focus on, but we're not here alone. We've got some fantastic allies with us.
Okay. How do you feel as a soldier, as a brigadier general? So, I mean, you're way on up there. How do you feel this campaign is going? I mean, it's not in the news every day anymore. It's easy to forget, and I think that's part of our problem right now is that we forget more often than not that we've still got 18, 19, 75-year-olds over there fighting this battle. So how do you feel the campaign is going in its entirety?
Well, again, I would point out that these types of conflicts are very generally long-term, okay, in a comparative sense. If you look at what's going on here now, I guess the best way to describe it is there are multiple efforts going on simultaneously. It's called the comprehensive approach, which is the only way to wage one of these things. We've made, I think, some significant progress in the last couple of years as the additional troops were shifted into Afghanistan. Those, as you've heard, probably General Petraeus say in the last month when he testified before Congress, that the gains are real, but they're fragile and reversible. So the task before us now, with all of our allies, is to consolidate those gains. As General Petraeus and the administration have described them. It's doable, but we do have to be conscious that these things take time and they take commitment.
Okay. Now, when do you get to go home this time?
Well, actually, I'm leaving in just a couple of days, so I'm okay.
That ain't too bad.
This time, I'll go home a couple of, you know, I can't tell you how long it'll be before I'm back, but I do get to go home. That's what you count on, going home. So,
what's your favorite thing about returning home to your kids and your wife and back to some semblance of a normal life?
Well, I think for me, it's got to be like everybody else. You know, when you go home, it's a comfort zone. Everything's right. And so that's what I look forward to. You know, you get into a routine over here, whether you're here for a week or a year, I think. And when you go home, it's just better.
What's your favorite thing about being
home? I mean, you had a soldier come home to you. It was better, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You're never going to get me to take that away. You can erase. Half of 2004, all of 2005, and a few days into 2006.
Yeah.
So you are never going to take away the day he came home.
That's right.
What is the one thing, what gets you through these deployments? You're deployed a lot, and sometimes, like you said, sometimes they're short, sometimes they're long, sometimes they're back-to-back. So what's the one thing that gets you through them?
Well, I think, you know, I believe. You know, I'm a man of faith on one hand, and on the other hand, I believe in what we're doing. So that's what gets me through. I think that's what causes people to reenlist, what causes people to come in the first place.
Yeah, my husband kept reenlisting. So.
Yeah, so you've got one at home, you know.
I've got one at home. I've got a lot of buddies who are all in the same boat, and I've got ones that they went to Iraq, and whenever they first got there, it's, I'm getting home, I'm getting out. By the time they got home, I'm reenlisting, and now they're career military.
Yeah.
So,
that's right. Well, you got to think, Tabitha. You know, the world sadly still needs policemen, still needs firemen, still needs emergency medical technicians, and probably for as long as we're here, it's going to need soldiers. And so, you know, there are dark places in the world, and somebody's got to go into them occasionally.
No, you're never going to get me to disagree with it. Like I said, I went through it right alongside him. And I was one of the, like every other military wife, I was extremely proud to have him and extremely excited to have him come home. So, with Afghanistan now versus 2003, what are the major differences? Is it, how has it gotten easier for the soldiers to be there?
I don't know if it's ever easy, but, you know, again, you know, between, remember, we came into Afghanistan less than a month after 9/11. You know, the attacks of 9/11 were put together here in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And the first Allied forces led by the Americans arrived less than a month later. So, of course, since then until now, you know, you've freed 30 million Afghan people. You've helped set up a representative democratic government. There's been, you know, I mean, from a very low basis, but there's been significant, I think, economic progress. The numbers vary, but somewhere around, you know, the numbers I've seen in my times over here, between 6 and 8 million kids in school, about half of them are girls.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't have, and when, before we got here, under the bad guys, there was less than a million in school. And so you think, we've been here now 9.5 years, roughly. So most people, at least in the Western world, spend 12 years in primary and secondary education. So there's a whole generation of Afghans that have been able to go to school because we're here. And none of those, by the way, students that before we got here were girls.
So yeah, I knew that they weren't girls at all.
That's right. So there's an entire generation of young Afghan girls who are soon to be young Afghan women who've been to school. Now, that's got to fundamentally change for the better a society.
Mm-hmm.
For the soldiers, you know, it's still you're a long way from home. The food is okay, but it's not it's not home cooking.
Mm-hmm.
You got more internet access, I suspect, now than they did back then. More TVs, you know, all of those kinds of simple things, I would call it. But you know, it's still dangerous, still remote. But you know, again, I would point out we're not alone, and you know, we're doing good things, and you got to feel. I think you got to feel good about that.
Okay. Well, great. I think those are actually all the questions I have, unless there's something else you'd like to touch on.
No, you know, the only thing I'd point out is you're going to interview Lieutenant Colonel Tim Williams. It's just a small world, you know.
It is pretty much so.
Out here at the exact same time, you know. So,
yeah, I want to talk to him and his family, and then weave your comments and your experiences into his story with his family and everything, because he'll be over there a little bit longer than you are.
Well, yeah, that's right. I think this is his third year-long deployment in the last, 10 years. For me, I've come in and out many times, but I've got a different type of that's right, and so I come when they need me, and I go when I'm done. So I've got a lot more flexibility. These guys that have been here 3, 4, 5 years, those are the ones that are the real heroes. I get to come and go with a lot more frequency than they do. So, you know, it's a lot different for me. One of the privileges, I guess, of being old.
So essentially, whenever they call you and when they need you to come do some consulting or to review things?
That's right.
Okay.
That's correct. Yeah. And depending on what they have me do, I come and I do it. And then they let me go home, so it's good. I can't complain about that. Tabitha, my normal reserve assignment is actually in Korea.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was in Korea and then flew from there to here.
Are you going back to Korea or are you going to Brazil?
No, going back to Brazil. No, my route was Brazil, Korea, Afghanistan, and now back to Brazil. So it's
That is a lot of stamps on a passport.
It is. Indeed. It's a lot of air miles.
Okay, well, great. Is there anything you've been a soldier for a long time. Is there anything you just really...
Yeah, emphasis on a long time. Long time, yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
Is there anything you really, really just love about the Army?
You know, well, again, I love about it is the service aspect. It's not necessarily the Army. For the people who are in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, Coast Guard, or again, you know, firemen, policemen, or EMTs, it's the service aspect, I think, it calls to you. I mean, all of us are volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can imagine that we've been to war almost 10 years in combat with an all-volunteer force, and we haven't had any really difficulties with that. It calls to you. Like I said, you feel good about serving, and normally you get people that believe in what they're doing.
And what unit are you attached to? Or actually, you're leading one.
I'm not leading. I'm attached to it. It's that combined joint interagency task force, which is a mouthful. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, my husband, you know, he's a specialist, and he was a sergeant. He's a sergeant first class when he got out. But he was military intel. And so all the meetings with the generals and everybody, he had to be in every morning. I remember the first time he called me, one day, middle of the morning, I mean, butt crack at dawn, he's, "Tabitha, I have to brief the general today." I said, "Well, go do it. It's a general, Tabitha." And I said, "You're a sergeant. You got this." He said, "It's a general. You don't understand." And I was like, "He puts his pants on the same way you do. You're fine." So, but
that's right. You know, that's absolutely the case.
I know that was like one of his big things is, and his unit was the one response whenever they did the bombing in New York City when they were going to do the bombing in the subways. That was his unit that caught that.
Oh, well, good. Excellent.
So he was really, really pleased.
And I bet he was.
There's a lot of things to be proud of with him, just like there are with all the soldiers that are doing their jobs.
Yeah.
Well, great, great. Well, sorry for the side track, but thank you for all of your time today.
No, that's okay.
Let you get
that's
back
okay.
to work.
Now, have you talked to Congressman Womack?
I have not yet.
Because, of course, you know, he's a colonel in the Arkansas Brigade as well, who back had a battalion in the Sinai right after the war began, and then I think probably went with him at the same time your husband was in Iraq. There were a lot of National Guard brigades in Iraq in that rotation, 05 to 06,
mm-hmm.
including the Arkansas Brigade. And then, you know, small world again, Tabitha. The Arkansas Brigade was back in 2008 and 9 in Baghdad, and they actually provided the escorts for senior officers, and this lieutenant who... Well, had just graduated from the University of Arkansas, was my last escort officer out of the country as I left on that particular mission. And not more than 15 months later, he shows up in Sao Paulo, Brazil, married to a Brazilian. And one of those chance meetings, you know, saying, "I know you from somewhere," and it was Baghdad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they were flying the hog flag, as you would understand.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm a rebel.
Strange small world. Yeah.
I am an Ole Miss rebel, so no hog flags in my house.
Oh, okay. Well, not everybody can be a Razorback.
Not everybody can be a rebel. We're an elite group.
No. Well, we may have to agree to disagree on that. Well, Tabitha, it's been great talking to you.
Well,
thank you
for all of your time tonight.
You bet. Not a problem.
Have a good day, Colonel Waddell.
You bet. Bye-bye now.
Mm-hmm.